This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to the New World next week.
It's been a little hiatus for us. We've taken a couple of weeks off, so I'd just like to thank everyone for sticking around and coming back to continue viewing the New World next week. And from now on, of course, we will continue our regular Thursday news updates. And also, on a programming note related to CorbettReport.com, people should stay tuned to my YouTube channel for Sunday Update, which will be back this week, and the podcast will be coming back with episode 131, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. And then, of course, we'll be continuing the Corbett Report podcast on a weekly basis. So that all aside, let's get straight into today's great news, and let's go to MediaMonarchy.com for story number one.
There is so much massive news. We debate about how many things we could try and go over, but essentially, hopefully, all of our stories have a bit of a positive bent to them, with caveats, of course. Our first report we're going to grab from Huffington Post, and this goes back to last weekend, and they call it class warfare. Hundreds protest outside banksters' houses in the District of Criminals. Huge, raucous crowds converged outside bank employees' houses on Sunday afternoon to demand banks stop lobbying against Wall Street reform. Bank of America, bad for America, shouted community leaders outside the House of Bank of America Deputy General Counsel Gregory Baer, B-A-E-R. The Chicago-based grassroots organization National People's Action, in coordination with the SEIU, bussed more than 700 workers from 20 states to Baer's neighborhood, one of the wealthiest corners of the District of Criminals. The action kicked off what were to be several days of protest targeting K Street lobbyist roles in financial reform. Baer himself went unnoticed until a neighbor outed him. The mob booed loudly as he walked into his house. "I don't have time for you," he said. And again, this is only, I believe, the beginning of all of this, James.
Yes, I think it is. That much we're sure of. But I'm kind of two minds about this type of story, because it is absolutely my dream that there will be a mass grassroots, not organized, political revolution and awakening to the people who are truly puppeteering the system and what's really happening in the economy. And that's my dream. But on the other side, I see how this type of situation, although this particular example seems like a positive example, I can see how this type of mass uprising could very much easily turn into a mob. And mobs can easily be led into wanton violence and destruction, which really isn't what will benefit us and will only benefit those who seek to create order out of chaos. So I don't know what to say about this type of story. It could be positive or negative.
Exactly. And I think it's one of these things that is worth putting on the record. And I believe our second story ties in with this well, both stories staying within the confines of the United States. So our second story, we had here in the States primary elections on Tuesday. And the story today from the Associated Press: voters back anti-DC, anti-establishment candidates. With the electorate's intense anger reverberating across the country, this is all but certain. It's an anti-Washington, anti-establishment year, and candidates with ties to either better beware. Any doubt just how toxic the political environment is for congressional incumbents and candidates handpicked by national Republican and Democrat leaders disappeared late Tuesday night when voters fired Democratic Senator Arlen Single Bullet Specter in Pennsylvania, forced Democrat Senator Blanche Lincoln into a runoff in Arkansas, and chose Tea Party darling Rand Paul to be the GOP nominee in Kentucky's Senate race. "People just aren't very happy," Ira Robbins, age 61, said in Allentown, PA. And as the AP says, and as we'll close this article, "with anyone linked to power, it seems." Again, this seems like a positive story. And of course, getting rid of Single Bullet Specter is fantastic, in my opinion. But again, I think what we were saying, a lot of these stories have the caveats that a lot of these stories seem to have the sniff of order out of chaos, James.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'd love to dance around the room just to hear Arlen Specter voted out. That's incredibly good news. But yeah, again, we start to see the Tea Party, which we know has been corrupted and is really just a function of the old neocons in sheep's clothing now. And we see those types of candidates becoming a part of this groundswell movement. And it, as we see, it's so easy to counterfeit true political revolution and then to pass it off as something new when it's really just the same two-party dictatorship. So it could be a positive sign, and it is a positive sign in some ways, but again, we have to be aware that it's going to be a counterfeited by the establishment.
So I think, yeah, so far so both of our stories are positive, but not entirely positive. And again, we're not shouting and jumping up and down for joy. Interestingly enough, our third story is basically a group of stories. And as we sort of pull out and go a little more widescreen or perhaps head up the pyramid, if you will, we basically have a laundry list of stories related to the massive amount of bankster and elite meetings going on. We, of course, see all the preparations for the G20 coming, and of course, what that is going to mean for Toronto and I believe some of the other cities that are going to be hosting that. We, of course, have the Bilderberg meeting coming up. We have a lot of the banksters and elites kind of sensing that, hey, it seems like people are waking up or at least getting angry. So what I'm trying to say, and what we're going to start off with, is an article from economicpolicyjournal.com. And this goes back to Thursday, May 13th, referring to a meeting that happened last Friday, May 14th. Geithner briefs superpower elite. The heavyweights want a report from Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner, including David Rockefeller and Lynn Forrester de Rothschild. In addition to Rockefeller, Rothschild, Geithner will also meet and met with other members of the board of directors of the Peter G. Peterson Institute for International Economics to discuss the administration's agenda for economic growth and strengthening the global financial new world order. All you got to do is roll down this list and see all the connected characters, whether it's IMF and the World Bank, and Pete Peterson was president of the Council on Foreign Relations. You see Maurice Greenberg connected to CV Star and AIG. You roll down the list, you see tons of other names. Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary. Again, Rockefeller, Rothschilds, Paul Volcker. All the banksters and gangsters getting together. And the next story we'll mention, and James, this will all kind of course, tie it all together, and I'll throw it right back to you. If we hit up an article from Paul Joseph Watson, referencing a recent Council on Foreign Relations meeting in Montreal, co-founder with David Rockefeller of the Trilateral Commission and regular Bilderberg attendee, Zbigniew Brzezinski warned that a global political awakening, in combination with infighting among the elite, was threatening to derail the move towards a one-world government. Brzezinski explained that global political leadership had become, quote, much more diversified, unlike what it was until relatively recently, end quote, noting the rise of China as a geopolitical power, and that global leadership in the context of the G20 was, quote, lacking internal unity with many of its members. That basically, and the last thing we'll quote out from Zbig, for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality. It has not been so for most of human history. Are these guys scared, James? Is that what's happening? Or are they basically, they're running their final scheme. They're looting everybody. They're collecting the insurance after they're burning the joint down. But are things getting so out of control that it's getting even out of their hands?
It's difficult to tell from our perspective, isn't it? But it certainly does appear that at least some of the people who have considered themselves part of the elite power structure now realize that as the structure is brought down in order for the one-world government structure to be built up, I think a lot of people are wondering if they'll maintain their positions in this power structure. So that might open the door for fissures within the elite that hopefully might, I guess, create some sort of deadlock that could hold hopefully postpone this type of plan they have. But certainly, absolutely, they want the chaos, they want the turmoil, they want the uprisings in order to bring in their firmer control and to have an excuse for creating systems of control. So again, it's a two-edged sword, and who knows which way it's going to slice. But all we can do is continue to keep ourselves updated on what's really happening. And of course, Bilderberg 2010 is just around the corner, so people should be starting to think about that. And I just recently interviewed Charlie Skelton for the Corbett Report. He wrote for The Guardian last year about Bilderberg 2009. He's going to be writing for The Guardian again this year about Bilderberg 2010. So people can check out that.
If I can interrupt you as we run out of time here, so much massively to go over. I think lastly, we would just implore folks to subscribe to the feeds, because we're going to be tracking these and so many other stories on MediaMonarchy.com and CorbettReport.com.
That's right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Take care.